Everybody, and welcome to Nerd Alert.
Alert.
Girls.
Chicas.
All right. Well, first of all, before we officially get started, I want to apologize for the long hiatus. Things have happened in our lives that I won't get into right now, but we're excited to be here. And also, before we dive in to today's topic, I just want to address the fact that, like, as of this time of recording, the Writers Guild of America have come to an agreement with the Hollywood bigwigs, and so their strike is over. The actor strike is still ongoing, so, you know, do whatever you can to support them. And finding out more, I will link to articles in the show description here if you want to find out more, or donate to the education or the entertainment community fund to support those who are out of work due to the still ongoing strikes. But also want to do a shout out, since, you know, we've last recorded, that the Marvel VFX artists, the special effects artists, have voted to unionize. So yay, unions. Everyone is working to unionize. Let's go. So I just wanted to give a shout out to those two or three, I guess, ongoing developments in Marvel and Hollywood at large. And just acknowledging that, like, you know, we still have a lot of people trying to get back to work and figuring out the future of artificial intelligence and art and the value of said art and how artists can be paid what they're worth. Yeah.
That hard, people. Pay them what they're worth.
It's not that hard, man. Anyway, so putting that aside, welcome to Nerd Alert, girls. I am your host, Bridget.
I'm Jen with a G. How's it going?
All right, yeah. So we are here today to discuss I Am Groot, which is basically a mini series, a series of shorts centered around Groot from Guardians of the Galaxy. The first season was released in August of 2022, but the second season was just released in September 2023. You might have seen it floating around Disney Plus, but personally, I hadn't really heard too much about it before. But then I, you know, was thinking about how, like, oh, we're kind of like, haven't come back in a while. What's a good quick thing we can talk about before Loki comes back and before the Marvels? And I was like, oh yeah, why don't we check out I Am Groot? Like, I hadn't gotten around to watching it. And I figured, like, okay, just give it a shot. And okay, first of all, I love this series so much. And if anyone hasn't seen it yet, or you haven't seen it in a while, I would 100% recommend you take half an hour. Like, that's literally all it takes. Just take half an hour to watch all the episodes. They're like 5 minutes long. There are only 10 episodes total. So, like, super breezy watch. You can watch it during your lunch break or something. But yeah, it's a great little series. It reminds me of a lot of, like, you know, those Pixar shorts where they just, like, it's like a nice little, like, story punch, and then but has a lot of impact even in a short amount of time, you know. And, like, the nice thing is it's following one character versus, like, a variety of different shorts like Pixar does. And so you're getting to follow along on these, like, mini adventures that he does, and it's really fun. What are your you watched it before I did, Jen. You had watched season one back when it released in 2022. What did you think about it?
Thinking how charming it was. I had watched it with my cousin, my mom, and my sister at the time, because we're all, like, fans of Baby Groot. My cousin and I were the Marvel geeks, but my mom and sister, they're like, it exists. So we all watched it together, and my mom was just cooing at Baby Groot, and I'm just like, oh, this feels so, like, in-universe, which, thank gosh, because sometimes when it comes to shows that branch off from movies, we get a weird bag sometimes. So the fact that they stayed true to little Baby Groot, and they were able to get Vin Diesel and even Bradley Cooper back, you know, for Groot and occasionally Rocket, was awesome. And honestly, these shorts are just so much fun, wholesome, you know, just watching Baby Groot get out of his little pot and have his own little adventures that are very, very in-universe, very in Guardians of the Galaxy. And you just look, and you're a part of you is just like, oh my gosh, it's just like a human child trying to figure things out. And other times you're like, he obviously learned that from Rocket, from Peter, from Gamora, from Drax. You know, like, it's clear where little Groot gets his inspiration from. So honestly, like Bridget said, you got half an hour of your time. Watch it. It is fun. You don't have to think too hard, and you have a good time when you watch it. I love this series, and I hope you do more than just the two seasons, but I'll take what I can get because what we got is pure perfection.
This is a random question, but like, if we did get a season three, would you want it to still be Baby Groot, or do you think you'd want to see a little bit more of like teenage Groot, or is it only Baby Groot that you want to see more of?
Well, I want to see Baby Groot more just because I happen to like babies more than I do teenagers, if I'm going to be honest. But also, just teenage Groot just reminds me too much of Infinity War, and I'm not ready to just deal with that trauma yet,
Oh my
just
gosh.
specifically for that.
For listeners who are new to this show, just know that Jennifer made the horrible mistake of watching Infinity War for the first time in the movie theater by herself.
You will not let me live that down, and you shouldn't. I'm thinking to
No.
myself, oh, hey, everyone's saying how devastating this is. How devastating can it be? I was a cocky little brat back then in my younger years,
Oh
six
man.
years ago, whatever it was.
Oh man, it hasn't really been that long. That's crazy.
It has. Oh my gosh, how things have changed since then.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, anyway, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just curious if they'll explore just like a different phase of his life. But I do like Baby Groot a lot. I was just, I'm just curious about like him in general, especially because like he's like a different Groot than like the Groot we knew in the first Guardians movie,
Right.
I just want to say too, we talked about like the value of the artists who work on the series, so I want to stress the person behind creating this, in particular, Kirsten Lepore directed and wrote all of these shorts. So I
Thank you,
just
Kristen Kapoor. These are fabulous.
Yeah, no. So Kirsten Lepore drew inspiration from her son for this series, and basically used science fiction to explore Groot's like childhood moments as we're talking about. And you can really see that shine through. Like you can tell that this series is like written and produced so lovingly. Like it's just done, and it feels like so true to life in the sense that like you were saying, Jen, like it's like, oh yeah, like. I totally see like, a little kid, any little kid kind of doing that and being able to, I mean, like learning to walk for the first time, right? Or and understanding things that smell good and things that smell bad and like things like that. And like yeah, so like I just really, yeah, I don't know. It's just like so lovingly crafted, like the whole thing. Like there's just like a lot of love for Groot as a character, but also a lot of love for like childhood. It's very whimsical, it's like quirky, it's funny, but at the same time it has like those like emotional beats that I think are pretty signature for the Guardians of the Galaxy series. I mean, I'm thinking most particularly of like the last one where or the last episode of season one where Groot does like makes a drawing of all the Guardians, and
Yeah.
and like it was watching it the second time that like because Rocket points out as he's putting on his dad glasses, which is so funny. Rocket points out like, oh, you're big in this drawing. It's Groot and like his large arms are surrounding all the Guardians, and it's like you see Drax, you see Rocket with the actual Rocket's actual fur cut and pasted on there, and Gamora and Peter Quill with the same team music and crying. There's like blue like teardrops drawn in. I don't know if you noticed that, Jen. But
Oh
like
my gosh.
which I'm like, it's an interesting choice that like Peter Quill's the one crying in Groot's point of view, right? Because this is before Gamora's dead. So like I just wonder where that came from, honestly. But I don't know. But anyway, so that drawing though, it's like so touching, right? It's like, oh, he's like, don't think you're getting out of this by being so cute, which like what parent hasn't said that? Like that's so real. And
So
like
real.
but like when he looks at it and like, you could see like, I don't know, just the love in there of like just how much effort he put into it and of the drawing and like I don't know. I feel like in a way it feels like a reference to the way that the previous group, you know, died, you know, because his arms were like all around them all. And I just kind of felt like, I know that Rocket says, oh, it's you and you're big. And I'm like, well, part of me wonders if he was like kind of making reference to his like predecessor, his parent. I don't know how to define the original Groot's relationship to the baby Groot, actually. Like,
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure that out too, because it was like a piece of Groot from Guardians 1 that created Baby Groot. So is that parenthood or is that like cloning almost? We have
Yeah, I don't
questions,
know.
folks.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say predecessor for now, because I feel like
I'll take
Rocket's
it.
been more of like the parent, so to speak, right? So like, for better or for worse, but yeah, I mean, so like, so that drawing, right? Like, it's really like, it's so soft and so tender and like such a pure childhood moment. Like, you, like, we all did, like, well, maybe I don't want to speak for everybody in the universe, right? But a lot of us have done that, like, with drawings as a kid, and like show them to your parents, right? And like, I mean, I don't think any of us set off bombs to make the drawings, but like, you know, to each
To
their own.
each their own, indeed.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. It's just like, it's such a cute drawing and it's such a cute moment, and like, it's my personal favorite out of season one. And
For
yeah,
sure.
top episode out of all of them for sure. But like, yeah, it's like, it's just like really sweet and like, but also still tied into like the goofy antics of Guardians of the Galaxy, right? I mean, all the ways that he like blows things up and like tries to duct tape the hole afterward and like, you know, and everything, but like, you know, so it's like this, and like, it's also just like all the sheer number of adventures he just goes off on his own. Like, he is totally unsupervised for so much of this. Like, I'm like,
Oh
where are
my
your
gosh,
parents?
right? I truly wonder if he just sneaks off on his own or if the Guardians are truly busy guardianing the galaxy or whatever. Like, or if they just assume he'll be okay, truly, because these are also the same people that leave him to devices while they're trying to take on a monster trying to eat batteries in the second movie, you know?
Right,
They're just
yeah.
totally fine with him dancing around, even though they do tell him, get out of the way, spit that out. Just. I don't know, man. That's parenting. You know, the love
The
is there. The love is
love
there.
is there. The supervision is very much not. Like, there's like several times where I'm like, you should have a babysitter right now. What are you doing? You're by yourself,
Truly,
flying the ship by
truly, truly.
yourself, and like, you know, going on these like strange planets, adopting strange pets, like, you know.
Creating a little robot on his own for a snow day or whatever.
Yes,
Just.
yeah. But anyway,
Dude.
so what are like, so yeah, what are your highlights, I guess, from these episodes? What are your favorite moments or favorite themes, and things like that, or favorite things you learned about Groot from the series?
Well, one of the things I've always liked about Baby Groot is his interaction with other creatures, especially ones that just happen to be tinier than him. Like, I think about like in the season one episode where he finds I think they're called Grunts, those
Oh
tiny little
yeah.
blue creatures under a rock, and he plays with them and he feeds them but at the same time keeps stepping on them. And then you've got the first episode of season two where he finds like a little baby bird kind of thing and tries to be a parent, and I swear I know for a fact when I was watching that episode it was early in the morning, I was eating my breakfast. And I see Baby Groot like basically adopt this bird. And it's nice again to see Groot like kind of take advantage of his surroundings by either having fun or just learning. It really does reminisce of childhood, how kids are always exploring and experimenting to figure out like how things work, how things are, and their relation to the surroundings about them. I work at a school, folks, in case most of you did not catch that, but. I see this like every day, basically Monday through Friday, the kids doing and saying weird things. So seeing Groot do that in like this sci-fi setting is definitely one of my favorite aspects of this show. To see Groot grow and learn. And you could tell, I think I mentioned before, that there are some times where you can definitely see where each Guardian's parenting comes through for Groot. Like when he made that robot in the snowman thing, all I could think was Rocket basically taught him that you couldn't just make a regular snowman like a like a human child. No, he made a snowman robot thing because he can, but yet still has enough awareness to know that thing is dangerous. It is going after my hot cocoa. It must be stopped.
Right, the
So
priorities.
it's
He doesn't think
very
about the ship
nice.
getting destroyed. It's like the hot cocoa. I must save the hot cocoa.
Seriously, for one small moment, I'm like thinking to myself, he's, oh my gosh, he's got to save the Guardians. I don't know if they're still in the ship or whatever, but nope, Zone's in the hot, on the hot chocolate. I'm like, no, that checks out. I've seen my students protect their stuff with like so much passion, and I'm like, why can't y'all be like that to the electronical devices I lend you or the library books I lend you? Nope. It's their own stuff they take care of. So yeah, that really tracks.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm curious what you see from like the other characters, because I mean, I was thinking definitely Peter with the love of music and dancing, like the dance off with like the glowy creature, right? Like 100% that was all Peter
Oh, that is
Quill.
100% Peter. And again, you definitely see Rocket more often than not with his technological know-how and such. But I thought like his aggression, the when he's actually in danger, or the indignation that he feels when he's like threatened, or when he feels something doesn't go his way. I did feel Drax in that. Like truly, truly Drax. Like in that episode where he kind of adopts that bird thing and he realizes that taking care of it's like a lot more than just playtime or whatever, and he tries to get it to stop squawking at him so he could take a nap by putting it in his backpack. All I could think was, okay, yeah, that does track as like a young child's way to, fix a problem. But at the same time, I can see Drax, even though he is a paternal figure, he was a paternal figure with his own deceased daughter once upon a time. I can definitely see him getting really annoyed with Baby Groot and like putting him in a closet or something. I mean, he literally in the second movie was like, get out of the way, tiny or useless Groot, I'm like, bruh. So definitely that aspect of Drax definitely lingers on to Groot a little bit, But I do see some Gamora in there once in a while in his protectiveness. Just in general, I guess. And also, again, aggression. Like, I'm not sure if you remember when Groot was taking a bath in the mud in the first season, and that one squirrel bird thing kept making fun of him. I definitely saw like him taking revenge as a sign of Drax, or maybe even Gamora, if you can believe it. So yeah,
Oh
a
yeah.
little
I
bit of
mean, I
the
could see
Guardians
it.
all around.
No, totally. Yeah, that's really true. But and like the protectiveness is and like the quickness, like he's quick on his feet. He's quick thinker in certain respects that reminds me of Gamora too.
Oh, for
But
sure, for sure.
yeah. Mostly Rocket though, yeah, for sure.
So much Rocket. My gosh, like the technological know-how, the mischievousness. And oh my gosh, another thing that I feel like he takes from Peter is his sloppiness. Like we
Oh,
saw him
yeah.
in the finds the nose and he realizes that his little gaming area reeks. But rather than clean it up, he just gets rid of the nose. I'm like, that kind of goes on track for Peter, doesn't it?
Oh my, okay, I need to talk about the misdirect, like this the show does a good job of like you playing with misdirection in a lot of different moments, but that's one of my favorite ones because he grabs like the duster and you think, oh, like he's gonna use it to actually clean out because he realizes it smells horrible, but no, he just uses it as a prop to like flick off his nose and so he can enjoy the filth in peace and so funny. But the funniest moment that makes me laugh, and I've watched it like this particular moment like a dozen times, is the in season two when he is trying to get money for like the space ice cream truck, and like also that the ice cream he eats is that like big massive giant face from Eternals. I forget what they're called, it's escaping me right now.
Yes.
But
Love it.
that's just a great detail. But he's like, but anyway, he's looking for the money, and then he sees like the claw machine, and there's like a coin in there, like in like among the prizes or what have you. And so, like, you know, it focuses on the claw, right? He's all excited, you know, and then it's a shot of the claw, and then he just busts through the glass and doesn't use the claw machine. No, like, he's just gonna cannonball through that glass, get straight in. Like, we're not messing around here.
No, we are not. Seriously, I would claw his way through, or maybe even grow his limbs through the little acceptance slot thing or whatever. But the part of me is like, no, he's not. And then, sure enough,
Good.
And I wasn't even surprised to see a claw machine in there. I'm like, no, that says Peter Quill or Rocket all over, just stealing a claw machine. Oh my gosh. No, seriously, that whole episode is definitely one of my favorites because it's so tracks for a child to hear an ice cream truck and lose their minds.
Yeah.
Seriously. I was definitely one of those kids. So, oh my gosh. His pursuit for money, you know, going through the piggy bank, the sofa cushion.
Yeah.
And then eventually he realizes, oh, there's a lot of money in the claw machine. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah.
But the fact that it ends with not only him getting his ice cream, but he accidentally crashed his spaceship into the ice cream truck spaceship.
I know, he was so eager to get there.
That he crashed into it. There's debris and ice cream everywhere, but he got his ice cream, so he's content, despite the fact that the police was totally surrounding him. And all I could think was, which of the guardians got him out of it? Like, who bailed him out? Who explained it? Who paid for damages?
It was the Nova Corps, too. I noticed on the second watch, I'm like, those are Nova Corps ships.
Oh my gosh. I can only imagine Glenn Close's character, John C. Reilly, being like, really? We know you saved, you know, our planet and such, but come on. You do not get a free pass on this one.
Do you? You're not even old enough for a space driver's license. What are you doing? But I think he is flying to all these places by himself, because the big ship is where everybody's on, and like the little ship, I think he just takes on these little adventures. I don't know, little field trips, like,
oh dear gosh.
And like, logistically, I can see, like, I know I was like, you know, giving the Guardians a hard time for not supervising him and stuff, but like, I mean, we're talking real world logistics. Like, imagine like just trying to incorporate the other characters into all that, like, you know, I can understand why they just want to focus on Groot anyway, because having a bunch of other characters there, or even just Rocket, could be a distraction to just, like, focusing on Groot discovering his own abilities, you know, discovering he could be a Chia Pet, discovering, you know, discovering, like, you know, his technological abilities go too far, and, like, you know, and just playing in the snow, you know, it's just, like, I mean, I get it. It's like these little nuggets about Groot. We don't need like other like characters around or anything to say for that. I just find it really funny, and also on like it tracks that he would just be allowed to just fly around to who knows where unsupervised. Like, like, oh, Rocket. I could just picture Rocket being like, oh, I'm tracking him. He's on planet blah blah blah. It's fine, you know.
Exactly. I can definitely see that tracking too.
Yeah.
Like, he's fine. Are you kidding me? He's fine. What's gonna happen? He's the biggest thing there, you know?
I know.
Oh yeah, definitely am enjoying this series. It would be nice to see the other characters, but like you said, it would take away from Baby Groot, so this, even though my protectiveness and early childhood educator instincts are like, protect the child at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, he escaped a temple on his own, even though there was lava and such.
I know. Okay, well, okay. So now we're at my favorite episode of this whole series. And it might quite possibly, like, might be my top five Marvel episodes of all time. Like, this is how much I love this last episode of I Am Groot. And spoilers, like, I would say you should go ahead and watch it before you listen to this part.
Like, but having the Watcher in that very last episode of season two was a delight, a surprise, and a total treat.
So fun. And Jeffrey Wright comes back to voice him like he does in the What If series, and that's great. Mm-hmm. It's just... okay. I love this episode so much for, like, so many reasons. First of all, like, you know, obviously, I don't think I would have enjoyed it nearly as much if I hadn't watched What If first. But, like, you know, you think of the Watcher as this, like, very, I mean, larger than life, fifth dimensional being who's very serious narrator guy. Well, also, like, having a lot of compassion, right? Like, the strong sense of compassion for, like, you know, I can't intervene, but, like, you could see how much he wants to for a lot of the situations that, like, come up in What If and things like that. And, you know, and, like, I feel like we got to see a little bit of, like, the lighter, humorous side about him. But, like, I feel like this is, like, totally a new dimension of him, of just, like, the goofiness of his interactions with Groot, question mark, right? Because there are these moments where, like, he thinks Groot can see him. And, okay, do you think that Groot actually does see him? Because I think that would be freaking hilarious.
That would be freaking hilarious, but I don't think he actually did see him. Or if he did, maybe he saw, like, a shadowy outline at best, but not actually him, you know? Because, you know, they say that children do see things that we adults can't, and I feel like there is some truth to that. So I don't think, again, Baby Groot can see him, but maybe just a little bit of him.
Yeah, like a shadow of him or something. I don't know. Yeah, maybe he just, like, senses that there's a presence there, and he's just like, oh, hi, you know? Hello,
you know,
shadow.
Just smiling and waving at him, you know?
Yeah,
I'm like, oh my gosh.
And it's a very wholesome like opposite to when Ultron first sees the Watcher. Like,
oh,
that's
my
a chilling
gosh.
Moment. That's a chilling moment, right? Where you're just like, oh no, he can see him, and, like, you know that things are, like, super dire. But, like, with the Baby Groot, it's more like, wait, can he see me? Can he not? Like, you know, how does he keep doing that? It's just, like, it's incredibly charming and funny and lighthearted. And it's just, I don't know, it cleansed the part of me that was still, like, shuddering from that moment in What If, where I'm just like, oh, you could see him.
No, seriously, that is one of those moments where you're like, oh, no, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even realize that juxtaposition. Nice pointing that out. Just,
oh, yeah.
I love the Watcher, and you're right, the fact that he's just so professional, I guess, you know, formal, and the fact that he's just like, okay, he's gonna get the seed. Oh, no, he's going for the ball. Oh, he's taking a nap. Oh my gosh.
Or,
I still
no,
have hope in you. Oh, no, I'm the Watcher, but I cannot watch. I'm just like, oh, you have feelings like the rest of us.
I mean, it's, like, similar-ish to when in the zombie one, in the zombie What If, when or no, it's not the zombie one. It's the Ultron Takes Over the World one, where, like, Natasha and Clint are, like, trying to find answers to how to defeat him, and, like, the Watcher knows what the answer is. He's like, the book's right there. Don't give up. It's right there. Like, it reminds me of that. Like, that was the closest thing that I could think of that, like, approximates, like, the Watcher's, like, quote unquote interactions or narration of, like, Groot's actions. And it's just like, he's like, no, wait, the lava is gonna consume the seed, you know.
Like, seriously, I think desperation and stress push him to feel something.
Yeah. That is the quote of the day. Like, that is so mean. I wonder why I love the Watcher so much. Oh, stress and desperation pushes me to feel things. Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, that episode is great. A lot of misdirection, like how you were saying before, because you're thinking, oh, maybe Groot does see the seed. No, he just found the ball. No. Oh my god, and the Watcher just, at first he's like this great hero, he is the wait, where's he going, what are you doing, he's stepping on all the traps. I've never seen anyone deliberately set off all the traps.
Every single trap. That's so, and it's so Indiana Jones, and, like, you know, even with the lava, it's just, like, so good. And
so good,
he's just so exasperated, and, like, but then he's in despair, and he's like, oh, that's it for this universe, that's it. Throwing in the towel. And then he's like, wait, the seedling is a metaphor, you are the seedling.
This is what I get for skimming the prophecy.
So good, that line, it killed me dead. I am talking to you as a ghost, like, So funny.
That's one of the best lines ever, especially since there's that whole trope that you treat a prophecy with like this utmost care. It is like the word of God, no matter what medium you're hearing a prophecy from. Oh, this is what I get for skimming the prophecy. I'm like, Watcher, how dare ye?
How dare you?
Oh, so good. We knew Groot would be okay. Becky's just like, oh, okay, let's move on. I'm like, yeah, that tracks. That little guy's fine. He got his ball back, and he's just it's life. He's fine.
He's just living his life. Okay, but I do want to talk about the prophecy, like, kind of seriously for a second, though, because, all right, he skims this prophecy about, like, the seedling, and it turns out to be Groot, and it's very funny and everything. But, like, I think it's an actually interesting prophecy. Like, assuming that the Watcher is correct and it does apply to Groot, which it seems that it does, like, this prophecy is talking about, the Watcher talks about, like, how the seedling, this, or he says, the small vessel of great potential would sprout from this very place, spreading peace and joy throughout. And then he's cut off because Groot springs from the ground, right? But like, it's supposed to be an era of
Yes.
prosperity and blah, blah, blah. And like, that's a very big prophecy if this is like actual, like real talk talking about Groot, Like, I mean, it could be like a throwaway, funny, like gag thing just for the short and not necessarily have any ramifications for his like character journey. But if it does, I think that's a really interesting thing to think about. Like, because obviously he is full of great potential. He's very young, right? And like, and throughout the series, we're discovering his other abilities, right? In terms of like, I mean, the Chia Pet thing is really funny, but like, he. Like, what else can he do if he applies certain materials to his body other than mud? Like, is he capable of other kinds of growth and powers with the right combination of things? Like, I'm or like or what? Like, how far can he push his like physical limits? Just talking about like, powers, quote unquote, but even just like his own like personality and like who he is, like, spreading peace and joy. Like, does that fit into like his role with like this new the newest iteration of the Guardians as of like the third Guardians movie? Like, there's a lot of like ways that could play out, and it kind of makes me curious about like what his future is,
I mean, we definitely see hints of his greatness, and not just with the Guardians 3, but the first thing I thought was when he helped Thor and Rocket create Stormbreaker, and he used a piece of his limb to create the handle for Stormbreaker. I'm like, that's a big deal to make something that belongs to a god, you know? Got that. We got his role in Guardians 3, and considering like what we've seen of him in the first Guardians movie, how he gave that flower to that little girl. I'd like to think that one day this Groot that we currently know will eventually grow into that wise, gentle giant that we knew in the first one, you know? So I'm not even surprised that Groot spreads joy because we got that already, and will eventually spread peace because he's part of a group of people who are determined to help others who can't help themselves, you know? So honestly, I took that prophecy pretty seriously, you know. If it is just for the gag, then well, it's a pretty good one, you know, that happens to be fitting, so I'm here for it.
I know where it's just funny to like be like, haha, I like this prophecy and blah blah blah. But actually though, here are the serious
Actually, though.
ramifications. Let's talk about this. Let's dissect this prophecy actually. That, I mean, granted, we're only given like secondary half-assed information from the Watcher, from skimming it, but like, from what we've gathered here, like there is like this like big promise about Groot that I am really curious about. And I don't know what the future of his character is in the MCU or in the Guardians, but like, I mean, I'd like to think Vin Diesel like will come back and like continue it, because I mean, how much effort does he have to put into it, right? He doesn't have to like put on a costume or anything or put on the makeup or whatever. It's just his voice. We just need to grab
Literally
you in the
just his
booth real quick.
voice.
But anyway, so yeah, so I think that those are all of my thoughts about this series in a nutshell, other than just like, I love it. It's hilarious and it's wonderful.
Definitely love it. I'm really hoping there's a season 3. because it really is just something just quick and fun, sort of like what if. There's definitely like a lot of heart and hard work into this, but there's just it doesn't require as much as a full length movie or even like a hour long special, if I had to guess. So I'm hoping that they'll continue with this for at least one, maybe two more seasons, because there is a lot of stories we can do with Baby Groot. There's just literally so many stories. Seriously, just go to a park, watch a couple of kids play, you'll get some ideas.
Yeah, no, I love this I love the series a lot. Oh, I shout out, I guess, too, to the music. It's very fun and quirky and spacey. Music was done by Daniel Lupi, who is an Italian composer that Kirsten Lepore hired for this series. And I think it's a nice little touch, like the sound, really accentuates all the humor and the just the goofiness and wonder of Groot's experiences, and it's really fun.
Definitely. Very unique too. Like when the ice cream truck spaceship thing went by, you still hear that usual ice cream truck,
Yeah.
but like very cosmic and kind of
Yeah.
techno. I love
Yeah.
that. I was just like,
Oh, it's
I
so
how can
fun.
I get that for my ringtone?
Yeah, it's really
So
good.
kudos to that, definitely. And for all the writers and special effects people for adding more to the galaxy beyond is really gorgeous and fascinating. You can tell there's a lot of fun, creating different creatures and different landscapes for Groot to explore while keeping some things that we might recognize, like a snow. So yeah, I'm definitely happy for this series, and hopefully we get to see more. It is such a treat.
It really is. It's That's the perfect way to put it. It's a treat. Did you say what your favorite episode was? I think the last one is my favorite. I don't know which one's yours.
The last one, Groot and the Great Prophecy, is my favorite too, for basically the reasons you said. But also, I was just happy to see the Watcher again. I have a soft spot for that guy. But I think a close second would be the Groot sweet treat with the ice cream thing, just because of how funny and how real it was.
I
Although,
think
quick shout out to the first episode of season two, Are You My Groot? I'm not sure if anyone knows this, but the title seems like it comes from the book Are You My Mother by P.D. Eastman. Very good book. My students love it all the time. Maybe it's not a direct reference and I'm reading into it, but the fact that there was sort of a connection there was definitely something I appreciate.
Oh yeah, I think that's definitely a direct reference for sure. I have no doubt that Kirsten Lepore has read that book. So,
Sick.
yeah, I would say my second favorite is probably the magnum opus one, just because I just think the, I mean, just for the line of like, we gotta put this on the fridge.
Oh my
The drawing is just
gosh.
so cute.
So cute.
They really saved the best for last for both seasons for sure.
Oh yeah, they knew exactly what they were doing with the order of this.
And also shout out to the little blue grunts. You think, oh, there's no way they're gonna be have any effect as they're trying to fight back against Groot. And they come with the lasers and the little ships buzzing around him. Which was really good. Anyway, I don't want to give away all the like the little mini twists of this mini series, but like there's lots of them. There's lots of little delights, and they're definitely worth rewatching because like I was catching stuff left and right that I'm like, oh, I see a reference there. Oh, that's a really great detail there, just visually, and like such great character details. Like, yeah, I don't know. I kind of wish we could have more stuff like this, like super, super mini 5-minute segments like about different characters, not just Groot. I'm not sure who like would that be off the top of my head, but like I really like the idea of that. Even if it's like maybe an animated form or something, that you usually associate with like shorts like this, right? Because I mean, I think of this as like an animated short, right? Because it features like Groot, who's like obviously not like a real life being that you're filming.
Yes, agreed. Especially since it'll be easier for the actors so they don't have to dress up or put on makeup all the time.
Right.
If we do see more of other characters, that'd be fabulous. I love a good majority of our Marvel characters, obviously. But I think that Groot was a great choice to start this off if they ever want to do more one day. Who knows? I know they have ideas for Spider-Man a little bit, you know?
Oh yeah,
Nothing
Spider-Man's a
concrete.
good. Spider-Man would be a good fit for that. Yeah.
Exactly. Characters that we don't get to see as often as we want, but who we want to know more about. And Baby Groot, even if it, call it fan service, call it a character study, whatever it is, we do get to see more of Groot, and it's delightful.
You know what the other character I would love to see like mini shorts for is Kate Bishop. I just feel like she would get into fun antics as she's like doing Hawkeye stuff.
Kate Bishop. Yes, I would love to see a short series about Kate Bishop.
Yeah, just like those little snippets. I don't know what that means or what that would look like, but like if I could pick any character, that would be one I would pick. I think she would be fun, lighthearted time.
Something just fun because we don't have to be emotionally devastated each time we watch something Marvel related.
Right, exactly.
There's some good
Oh,
moments here.
all right. One more detail I did want to point out to you, actually. You know how the Marvel credits play at the beginning of every Marvel, show or movie, right?
Oh my
I
gosh, yes, I know where
don't
you're going
know.
with this.
Yeah. I don't know how we haven't talked about this already, but like at the intro, usually play the Marvel credits with all the comic book pages and the movies clips playing in the background as the big Marvel logo appears on screen, right? It's very dramatic. But in the Groot shorts, it's like, you hear Grunkle, ugh, and then he like you see his hand, little hand with the remote, like stop fast forwarding it, and he's like kind of humming the Marvel like I don't know tune or whatever, and then he's like, "I'm Groot, I'm Groot." Okay, and then he like looks at the camera and he like he's like, "Oh, what's this?" And it like falls over. It's a fun little gag that like I enjoyed seeing. Oh, okay, that's a fun spin on like the because not too many like Marvel movies or shows really play with that, or make any variants of like the Marvel opening credits or opening sequence. I don't know what to call it, but yeah.
That is a very clever thing, and you're right. How have we not talked about that? That is one of the best parts of this series.
Yeah. And like I in some level I can feel you, Groot, because like I will always like almost always skip through like the little intro music sequence, not just for Marvel, just like in general. Like I'm like, all right, skip intro. So that was the mood, and I just like it was a nice, clever detail, and I wonder if we'll see more like clever spins on that in the future for the Marvel opening sequence. So I think it's a fun way to like kind of set the tone in a different way, for like, oh, this is not going to be what I like a typical quote unquote Marvel thing will be. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Oh my gosh. You know what I just thought of right now, speaking of setting the tone? Remember when I think it was Endgame first came out and they showed the Marvel thing and then it went to dust? I remember that and like everyone in the theater, oh, thank gosh we got something a lot more playful with Groot. Thank you for that, Marvel, because if you're gonna play with your own title like that, that's awesome. But do
That's
not
good.
dust anything again for
It's
at least another decade or two. I'm not
Oh
over it.
my.
Skip through it with Groot if you want to.
Oh my
Have
gosh.
Deadpool write something over it for all I care. Just don't dust it again. We're
Oh.
not here for it.
Yeah, spray paint over it. You can do all kinds of things. I would take anything. No, you're right. I feel like Groot has not only healed my soul from the fear of Ultron with that parallel. Now I'm being healed from the trauma, the hardship of the dusted Marvel logo. I can't know. I needed the
Groot
wholesome wash
heals all
through.
wounds.
Yeah.
He's fulfilling his prophecy
He
already.
is. Truly, he is. That's so good. I love that. Okay, well, I think that's all I have to say about I am Groot for now.
For now, give us season three, Marvel.
Yeah. All right. Well, I feel like we should adjust our outro just in honor of Groot especially. I know we say like we'll talk to you next time on Nerdlert Girls, but I feel like today we should say we'll talk to you next time on I
I
am
am
Groot.
Groot. I was thinking the exact same thing, Bridge.
Yes, I am Groot, everybody. We are Groot. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will talk to you next time on our podcast.
Be on the lookout for Loki season 2, because we will talk about that, and we'll talk about the Marvels, of course. Marvel, if you've got anything else for us, you know, don't be afraid to drop any teaser trailers for future projects.
I don't know, not for a while though. Those strikes are still ongoing, or well, the one of the actors, so fingers crossed that gets resolved soon with a good deal for the actors who make these works possible. Thank you for your service, y'all. Thank you for putting in the fight, and thank you for your art.
Thank you so much for everyone involved with this. And as for the bigwigs, pay people what they're worth. That's it. It's not that hard. And then we'll get awesome quality content, but now it'll even feel and be experienced a lot better knowing that people are happy doing what they do and getting paid for being awesome.
Yes, exactly. All right, y'all. Well, keep being awesome, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.